Well, good morning and welcome to worship at Greystone Baptist Church this morning. My name is Alan Smith. I serve here as the minister to students, and it is my joy and privilege to welcome you this morning. As always, the presence of all in this space enhances the worship of all in this place. A couple things to call your attention to as we get started. First, I hope you'll notice the friendship pads that are seated at the end of your pews. We do invite you to take those and pass them down the pew. We hope this gives you an opportunity to become a little bit more familiar with some of those who are worshiping around you this morning. Also, in those, you might notice these connection cards. Whether you are a guest with us or someone who has been a member here for a long time, we invite you to use these cards if there's anything that you'd like to communicate with us as a church staff, if there's anything that you'd like to share with us, be it a prayer concern or something else that's going on in your life. Again, we're glad that you are here. You will notice that today is Pentecost Sunday. It is also our graduate recognition Sunday. So we look forward to a wonderful time of worship together. And we will begin our worship by hearing the Pentecost story.
Hear now the story of Pentecost from Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place.
They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to the fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and to prayer.
Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting.
The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit.
They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them.
See, I will send my messenger, who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come.
All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them.
You were slain, and with your blood you purchased saints from God, from every tribe and language and people and nation.
Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one of them heard them speaking in his own language.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise.
Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?
How can they call on one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them?"
This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people.
And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news.
And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Holy Spirit, wind of heaven, breath of life, our warmth and light, power of creation bringing, hopeful dawn from darkest night. You have birthed us, you have warmed us, you have blessed us all our days. Now you of passion, you have brought
If there are any other children who would like to join us, we would love to have you. Okay, guys, today's a special day. Did you hear in Sunday school what it's called today? What is it called, Aiden? Pentecost, that's right. Hey, Charlotte, come on. So today is Pentecost. Now, let's just review. Christmas, what happened on Christmas? Jesus was born, right? And then when we had Easter, Jesus rose and lives again, right? Today is Pentecost. Pentecost is a very important day for the church because it's the church's birthday. Do you guys know about birthdays? So what do you know about a birthday? What do you get at your birthday? Do you get cake? Do you get presents? Well, I brought some cards because sometimes when you have a birthday, you get a card, right? Like, and you get cards about things that you like or things that are important to you. So, like, there's BB-8 because we're kind of Star Wars fans. There's one with a cake. Always like a good cake. Maybe you have balloons on your birthday, right? What about this one? Their dogs dressed up with sunglasses. That's pretty funny, right? Sometimes we send funny cards. Oh, look, that's a sweet one. Oh, kittens kissing. Happy birthday to me. All right. So you get cards on your birthday because we want people to, because people want to say, I celebrate you, and I remember that this is the anniversary of the day you were born. So the church was born on Pentecost. We know this story because it's in Acts chapter 2. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. And so we look in the Bible in Acts chapter 2, and let me tell you what happened. So Jesus' disciples, Peter, John, James, Matthew, all those guys, right, were in Jerusalem, and Peter stood up to preach. And when Peter started talking, people could hear him in whatever language they knew. So he would start talking, and if you spoke French, you would be able to understand him, even though you didn't know Hebrew. Or if you spoke, let's say, Spanish, you would be able to hear and understand what Peter was saying, even though he was speaking in his own language. It was a very miraculous thing. And so all these people heard, and then they believed in God, because Peter told them all about Jesus, and they believed. And when all those people believed in God, they started forming churches. That's why it's the birthday of the church. All right, so today's the church's birthday, and I thought maybe when you went back to your seat, you might want to make a card for the church, a birthday card. And so you could think of different things that we use in church, some of the symbols or some of the pictures. You could draw a picture of Jesus. Yes, Ivy Lynn? Oh, so maybe you see, that's the good thing about church. If there's ever something that we're not sure exactly how to do, we have all these people who can help us. So when you go back to your seat, if you need help, then you should ask somebody around you to help you with your card, okay? All right, so that's a good thing about church. Thank you, Ivy Lynn. All right, so these are cards. Think about symbols that you see in church, stories you've read in the Bible, all these things, and think about how today is the birthday of the church. Let's pray together. Dear God, thank you for birthdays. Thank you for celebrations, and thank you for our church. Amen.
Thank you.
I invite you to join me in our litany of invocation. Come, Holy Spirit, rattle the rooms in which we are hiding, shake the tired foundations until unjust institutions crumble. Break the rules that keep you out of all our sacred spaces, and then lift from the dust and the rubble a completely new creation. Come, Holy Spirit, enter our lives, whisper our names, refresh our spirits, and scatter your gifts of grace with wild abandon. Give your silent strength to all imprisoned, and let your raging fire be our sign of liberty. Come, Holy Spirit, help us find ourselves in vital places, bringing your word and freedom to those who hunger for love and life. In the name of Jesus, who touched, healed, and challenged, and calls us to go and do likewise. Amen.
Well, have you ever heard the one about the time those early Christians were accused by the crowds of having had a little too much to drink by 9 o'clock in the morning? I know that a lot of the stories in our Bible might seem far-fetched, especially to those of us who read them some 2,000 years later. All these miracles of Jesus, the healing of illnesses, restoring sight to the blind, or even that time he took a couple of fish and several loaves and somehow created enough food for thousands to eat. Yeah, it can be pretty hard to believe some of these stories sometimes. In fact, often our response might be, sure, great story, but couldn't there be some sort of other explanation for what had happened? I mean, was it really the Holy Spirit, or could it have just been some really good wine? You see, that's exactly the question that the crowd asks in the story that we hear this morning. You heard a paraphrase of this story a few minutes ago from Cody and Lou. We know that it is Pentecost. It is simply, at this time, a day in the life of Jewish believers where they celebrate the 50th day after the Passover Sabbath. There is festivals, there is celebration for all that's going on. Jews from all over had gathered to celebrate together, meaning Jews from what is now the Middle East and Turkey were all in one place for the celebration. And these first group of Christians, they're not even really called Christians yet, but this first group of Christians, these followers of Christ, are gathered together. Jesus has ascended. They have called Matthias to join the remaining 11 disciples. They are in the midst of regrouping. And there is no way, even after all they had seen and all they had heard in those years with Jesus, there is no way that any of them could have imagined what they might experience on that day. You see, just as Jesus had promised that the Holy Spirit would come upon them, it did. The Holy Spirit showed up and showed up in a big way. These early Christians began talking in all different languages. And the crowds, these crowds of Jews that had gathered, well, they were all there for the Pentecost celebration, but they were all able to hear what was being said, even in their own native tongue. They heard all these early Christians proclaiming the majesties of God even more. These crowds were able to hear it in their own dialect. They were confused, befuddled, perplexed, you name it. They recognized all these early Christians as being from Galilee, but how were they able to understand what all these Galileans were saying? You see, in modern day, it might be like if a group from the south, if they traveled up to New York City, and there was a big celebration where people from all over the world had joined together. But when the group was there, somehow these people from the south would begin talking in all different languages, maybe Spanish and French and German, or even Mandarin, Chinese, Cantonese, all different kinds of languages. And people of all different ethnicities would begin to hear what was being said, what was being proclaimed in their own native tongue, even perhaps people who weren't from any of the countries where those languages were spoken. Yeah, you might say that it was confusing. I think the fact that everything made sense to the crowds meant that the whole day's events back at Pentecost really made even less sense. I mean, the fact that they understood what was being said meant that they had even more questions about what was going on that day. And of course, as any thoughtful person is ought to do, they looked for an explanation. What in the world is happening around us? Why are all these people talking in so many different languages? And how come we actually understand what's being said? How come we actually hear in our own native tongue? And so, of course, one of the responses is that these Galileans, well, they must have had their fill of the good stuff. They must have had their fill of some really good wine. This landmark event, this birth of the church, well, this beginning of a community of faith that is guided by the Holy Spirit, it was so unbelievable. So unbelievable that the people in the crowd had no explanation for what was going on other than it must have just been some really good wine. As if there were no other possible and logical explanations for what they had seen. Now, sure, we laugh, but I wonder, how often do we do the same thing? How often do we neglect to recognize the work of the Holy Spirit and instead look for other excuses, other explanations for all the things that God is doing, even in our own lives? You see, it's true even in other stories of Jesus' life. Recall one of Jesus' first miracles as recorded in the Gospel of John, the wedding in Cana. They, of course, run out of wine at the wedding party, and Jesus helps to turn water into wine, into such good wine that the people there explain and exclaim, "What? Why'd you save all the good stuff for the end? Usually we would expect you to offer this at the beginning and just serve the old wine at the end after everybody has already had some." A fitting question for that event becomes naturally, well, so what was it exactly that happened in Cana? Was it the work of the Holy Spirit, or was it just some really good wine? Or the group of friends who enjoys lunch together each Sunday after church. They like to reflect on the Sunday school lessons, the sermons and music from worship, all the goings-on of their lives and the lives of their families. And then they look forward to other opportunities to gather with this community that they have become a part of. Even others who are guests of the church, find this group and find it to be a meaningful community for them as well. They soon feel welcomed into that fellowship. They quickly become entrenched in all the various ministries of the church. And so we ask, was that because of the Holy Spirit, or was it really good wine? Or the group of adults who gathers monthly to discuss theology over some light refreshment. What might have begun as just the idea of a few has blossomed into the fellowship of several. At some meetings, there is some agreement. At some, there is disagreement. But regardless, friendships are formed and deepened in this space and among these people. In fact, many of these folks become even more connected to their larger community of faith, to their church, as a result of these gatherings. So was it the Holy Spirit? Or is it just really good wine? Another group of young professionals gathers monthly for dinner, a brief chance to share about the ups and downs of their lives and relax at the end of a workday. Again, new friendships are formed, and to the point that the group looks for additional opportunities to meet together so that they don't have to go a full month without seeing one another. And again, we ask, the Holy Spirit or really good wine? A church promises to nurture and care and raise students in the faith, teaching them to be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ in all that they are and in all that they do. Of course, the students grow and they take different paths. Some play lacrosse, some play soccer, some play volleyball. Others ride horses while some dance. They participate through the years in Sunday school, in mission trips, youth groups, camps, retreats, you name it. And as they graduate from high school, the church takes a moment to pause and to give thanks and to bless them as they go on. Okay, so maybe none of us thought that was the result of really good wine. But at the same time, do we recognize the work of the Holy Spirit, even in our own congregation? On this day, we remember the Pentecost of so many years ago. But let us also think of the Pentecost that continues to occur in our own community. Friends, the Holy Spirit is alive and at work even amongst us. It continues to be both an influence and a guide to us, both as individual followers and as a larger community of faith that seeks to follow the will of God. Amazing things continue to happen all around us. But our question is, do we notice the Holy Spirit? Or do we just dismiss it as the result of some really good wine? One more. A church is saddened to learn that her pastor is leaving the ministry. There is a great memory of following God in a variety of ways during that season. But the church also remembers that as a community of faith, it is bigger than any individual minister. And many become energized and look for opportunities to serve, opportunities to continue to connect with the meaningful community and the ongoing work of the church. The surrounding neighborhood, the surrounding community continues to see that this community of faith is a welcoming place, one that our neighbors are drawn to because they see the meaningful relationships and the purposeful ministries that continue to go on there. And so, as the church continues on in its ministry, the people in the neighborhood are perplexed. They are awed. They are befuddled. They are confused. And they might even turn to one another and say, "What's going on over at that church? Is it the Holy Spirit or just some really good wine?" You see, the beauty and majesty of Pentecost is that even the earliest Christians were so filled by the Holy Spirit that all those around them in the crowds thought they had had too much to drink by 9 o'clock in the morning. And so may it be the same with us. May the Holy Spirit be with us, that we might cause the same reaction in our own community as we join in the redemptive work of God in this world. Amen.
moment for us to respond as we stand together.
Please join me in prayer. Gracious and loving God, let your Spirit guide and empower us. Fill our hearts with love so that we may generously share our gifts and blessings with others. We ask that you lead us so our actions will provide a powerful witness to your grace and mercy. We dedicate ourselves and our offerings to your service that you might accomplish great things through us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Fill me up, come, Holy Spirit. Fill me up now and take.
praise to the Father from whom all things come, and all praise to Christ Jesus, His only Son, and all praise to the Spirit who makes us one, and they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know.
Even on that day of Pentecost so many years ago, after the Holy Spirit filled the lives of all those earliest Christians forming this community of faith that we now call the church, those early believers began a practice of meeting together regularly to worship and to share a meal, and we do the same here. Remember that this is not a Greystone Baptist Church table. It is not a Baptist table. This is the Lord's table, and one in which we join with all those around the world, speaking and hearing in all those different languages, but proclaiming the works of God. On the night that Jesus was handed over to suffering and to death, sitting around the table with his closest friends, he took the bread and he broke it, saying, "This is my body, broken for you." And in the same way, he took the cup and he said, "This is my blood, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins." Let us pray. Gracious God, you who first shared this table with us so many years ago, help us to see the work of the Holy Spirit even at this table. That it be more than just bread and juice, but that it might be a taste of the unending grace which you offer to us. Amen. Thank you. take and eat bread for the journey. We lift this cup to you, O Lord and our Redeemer. Amen. Take and drink the cup of salvation. The peace of Christ be with you.
Also with you.
Please stand and share the peace of Christ with one another.
As you return to your seat, may we sing this song as our response this morning. We are one.
We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity may one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. We will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. And together we'll spread the news that God is in our land. And we'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know.
Be seated. Well, as we said earlier, today is a graduate recognition Sunday for so many in our group. We have spent lots of time teaching, nurturing, watching these students even in worship care. And so now it is our opportunity to bless them as we send them on. We're going to begin our graduate recognition with a short slideshow that has a few pictures of each graduate. So I'll allow the folks to get that started for us.
Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount, I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, here by thy great help I've come, and I hope by thy good pleasure, safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger, interposed his precious blood. From sinning, I shall see thy lovely face. Clothed then in blood-washed linen, how I'll sing thy sovereign grace. Come, my Lord, no longer. tarry. Take my ransom soul away. Send thine angels now to carry me to realms of endless day. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I am constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above.
If you would please bow your heads as we have a prayer of blessing over these students. Gracious and loving God, for the countless blessings you have bestowed upon us, we give you thanks. For from you we have received the gift of life, life filled with many seasons. The seasons of our calendar remind us that you are continually involved in our lives. Spring emerges from winter with new growth. The new growth perseveres through the heat of summer before changing with the season of fall. The cold of winter reminds us that the process nears its restart with new growth again. This morning is a time of gratitude and of celebration, as these students move from one season of life to the next. We are grateful for these sons and daughters of God, your children, who bless this church by their faithfulness and their love. We have had the pleasure of seeing each of them grow into adulthood, men and women who continue to be witnesses to your redeeming love. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your everlasting presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And thank you that you will continue to love your world through each of them. And we pray that this service of worship might also be a time of blessing. May the wisdom of the Holy Spirit be with these graduates wherever they may go. In this time of transition, may they be reminded that the grace and peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ goes with them always. We are so blessed to have participated in your nurturing of these graduates. For Anna, Emily, Olivia, Sally, Megan, Caroline, Ellie, Ashlyn, and Taylor, may Greystone be a place of comfort and of peace as they transition out of high school. May she be a place of home when presented with the challenges of college, and may the grace and mercy of the Lord go with them. And for our college and graduate school graduates, Michael, Ford, Maggie, Travis, Ryan, Kyle, Brian, Joseph, Joe, Jennifer, Andrew, and Bradley, may they be blessed in all that they are and in all that they may do, being reminded that this life is a gift for the glory of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, in whose precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Excuse me. We do have a small token of our blessing for these students. It is a devotional book, one we hope that will go with them through all the days of their life. not only as a reminder of this community of faith, but as a reminder that God is with them in all that they are and in all that they do. I'm going to invite them one by one to come up. Emily Grimes. Sally Mueller. Megan Muncy. Caroline Smith. Ellie Taylor. Ashlyn Topp. And one college and graduate school graduate with a master's degree, Jennifer Ugent. I'm going to invite them to remain standing so that in a few minutes, when the service is over, you have a chance to come and greet and congratulate and bless them, as we are grateful for their witness of faith, but also encouraged and praying for them as they transition to this next step. One other thing I'd like to do as we near the close of our service, I'd like to invite each of you who've had a presence in helping to nurture these students in their faith to stand, whether that was in worship care, maybe teaching Sunday school, maybe going as an adult leader on a children's or youth trip, anything that any of you have done to be involved in the lives of these students. We certainly know that it takes a church, so go ahead and stand. I don't see people standing, but I know you've done things. Go ahead and stand up. Many of you have done plenty of things to help teach these students as they've grown up in this place. So we are thankful to you. We are thankful to you, and we are just amazed at the witness of God that this joyous celebration is. Thank you. And just one quick note before we close our service with song. There is, if you'll notice in your bulletin, an ice cream party. So we know that it is the end of school. We're very excited for that. And so our children's ministry will be gathering on Friday night at 6 o'clock at the Goodberries over near Strickland and Six Forks. Want to make sure everyone is aware of that if you'd like to participate. Again, more details are listed in your order of service. And now let us stand together as we sing Sweet, Sweet Spirit.
There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place.
His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.